1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Let's pray again and ask God's help. Father, we need You. Lord, we want to feel this love today. We don't want to just think about it with our minds. Lord, we want to be so encouraged and know this love and delight in this love and feel this love, Father, that we are moved to action and to song and to poetry and to delight and to having our breath taken away by Your love for us. And Father, we confess that unless You work by the power of Your Spirit as Your word is preached, then Lord, we gather in vain. And so we plead with You for Jesus' sake to pour out Your Spirit upon us, to pour Your Spirit out upon me and upon all those who hear. God, may we be changed. May we know Your love. May we know the height and width and length and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and be filled with all Your fullness. God, may we be encouraged. May we be convicted. Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know the love of God in Christ Jesus, we pray that today would be the day that they would come, Lord, to be ravished and conquered by Your great love. And so, God, have Your way with us and save and glorify Christ, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. One old preacher said these words, "No father is like God when it comes to love. No father is like God when it comes to love. If you are His child, you cannot love your own soul entirely as He loves you. There is no love like the love of our Heavenly Father." I don't know what kind of father you had. I don't know if you have a father. I don't know if you had bad experiences with your earthly father. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because we have a God who is Father. The perfect Father. The loving Father. The holy Father. The righteous Father. The Father who has all power and all might and all glory and all strength and all love. And He is for you if you are in Christ Jesus. Consider how lavish is the love which the Father has showered upon us, that we should be called God's children. One sermon that I listened to this week in preparation for this message was titled, "The Name Above All Names." And when we think about the name above all names, I hope that you first and immediately think about the name of Jesus. That King above kings, King of all kings, and Lord of all lords, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the name above all names. And yet the reference in this sermon title was our name. The name above all names for Christians is children. 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 As one has written, the Christian name for God is Father. The Christian name for God is Father. And you, if you know Christ, are children of God. Children of God. And we need to talk about this because I see it's not having the emotional effect on you that it ought to have. And that's why we come to church, because you need to be instructed. You need to be instructed that when God is Father, there's something happening and in your heart that wells up. And when you think about the fact that you're children of God, there's something that happens in your heart. And so we need to talk about this. The text invites us to see God's amazing love. And why? It shows us why God's love is so amazing. And it shows us that God's love is a gift. So there are your 3 points. See God's amazing love. See why God's love is so amazing. And know that God's love is a gift. And so look with me again in our short little text. See. See what kind of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. God wants you to see this love. He wants you to behold, some of your old versions, behold what manner of love. God wants you to meditate on this love. He wants you to treasure this love. He wants you to delight in this love. He wants you to know this love. See, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. And we want to pray that as we see this, God would take our breath away. Father, take our breath away. You remember when the Queen of Sheba came and saw the wisdom of Solomon and saw his house that he'd built and the food on his table and the seating of his officials and the attendance of his servants and their clothing, their cupbearers, the burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. It says there was no more breath in her. You hear all those gushy love songs. Oh, take my breath away. They got it from God. They got that from God. And there's a greater than Solomon who's here. All right? So we're not like the Queen of Sheba coming to see the riches of wisdom of Solomon. We're coming to the all-wise one, the one who knows all things, the one who is making mansions for us in glory that calls the house of Solomon to be undistinguishable. We are coming to Him who is setting a table before us in the presence of our enemies and will satisfy us with the richest of food. We are coming to One who commands the armies, the angel armies. We are coming to the One who gave that only sacrifice of His Son who could take away our sins. And oh, my friend, we need to pray, Lord, take our breath away. Take our breath away by Your love. This is how saints of old have come to God. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. Oh God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You as a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon You in the sanctuary and behold Your power and Your glory. Get this, because Your steadfast love is better than life. God's love, behold what manner of love. See this, His love is better than life. It's better than anything in life. It's better than the love of your husband. It's better than the love of your wife. It's better than the love of your children, your grandchildren. It's better than your job, better than your money, better than your house, better than your car, better than your greatest hope or dream or aspiration. God's love is better than anything in this life. And Sister Christine knows that right now. She don't want to come back. She sees us sniffling and crying. She don't want to come back. She knows that His love is better than life in a way that she never knew in this life. His love is better than anything life has to offer. And God is telling us, see this. Meditate on this. Think about this. Turn the TV off. Put your smartphone down. And think about this. See this. Know this love. One of my favorite prayers is in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 18 through 19. Paul prays for the Christians in Ephesians that they may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Friend, pray that silently right now. Pray that as the preacher preaches, God, help me know Your love as I've never known it before. Help me know Your love as I've never known it before. And so God wants us to see His love. And those who see the Father's love, those who see the Father's love will serve the Father faithfully, zealously, and tirelessly. We need to live like we're loved. I don't need any love because I have all the love I need in Christ. All the love I need from my Father. And therefore I'm empowered to give and give and give and give and serve and sacrifice and love because I don't need anything from anybody else. I've got it all from God. The love of God satisfies me. And we need to be encouraged. We talked about this in Sunday school. We get down, we get discouraged, we get sad, we get depressed, and so we need each other to come around us and remind us of that love of God, remind us of His love for us, and when we are satisfied with His love, we will be empowered to serve like never before. You remember Jacob, Jacob was in love with Rachel. Oh, in love with Rachel. He saw this gorgeous, beautiful woman and he loved her. And it says he served 7 years for Rachel and they seemed to him but as a few days because of the love he had for her. It was like nothing. 7 years was like a few days because he was so ravished with her love. Friend, that's what happens when you are ravished with the love of God. Service is a joy. It's a delight. And it's like no time. And so see the love of God. Behold the love of God. Why is God's love so amazing? Why is God's love so amazing? Look at the verse again. See what kind of love. See what kind of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. God's love is so amazing because it is specific and personal. Is everyone on earth God's child? No, you're right. Amen. No, everyone who has ever been born is not God's child. We're not all God's children. We're not. Now, there is a sense the Bible does use, and I want you to be educated on this. The Bible, in a sense, does use creationally, in the sense of creation, everyone is God's offspring. The Bible says that. Acts 17:28-29, Paul the Apostle is preaching to lost sinners in Athens at the Areopagus, and he says in Acts 17:28-29, "For in Him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring." And then Paul affirms that we are His offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. So there is a sense in which God as Creator, who made us all in His image, we are His offspring. But that's only in the sense of creation. That's not in the sense of redemption, in the sense of salvation, in the sense of being delivered from the wrath of God. And so in that sense, not all of us are God's children. We need to be saved. We need to be born again. There is no salvation in simply having God as your Father because of creation. There's judgment, but there's no salvation. We need to be saved. We need to be redeemed. We need to have God as our saving Father. Our redeeming Father who saves us from the wrath to come. So we are not all naturally God's saved children. We're not born as children. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And in John 1:12-13, we read these glorious words, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, those He gave the right to become children of God." You see that? Not everybody's God's child. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when you're born of God, He changes your life. You don't keep living for what you were living for before. So you can't say, "Oh yeah, I believed in Jesus, Pastor," and then go keep living the same way. No, no, no. If you believe in Him, you've been born of God, and your life's going to change. A lot of people out there think they believe in Jesus. A lot of people will claim, "I believe in Jesus." But where's the changed life? Where's the changed life? That's evidence that you've been born of God, a changed life. You must believe in His name to be a child of God. And so this is a specific personal love. That's one of the reasons it's so great, is God specifically and personally chose you to be saved before the foundation of the world. He chose you to be His child before the foundation of the world if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He set His love on you by name and He caused you to be born again. And that is amazing. That is amazing. God's love is so amazing because we don't resemble Him in His holy character. We don't look like Him. You know, if you're married and you have a child and the child don't look like you, there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem. We don't look like God. We don't look like God's children in His holy and righteous character. Now, even in our fallen state, we are made in God's image. We have not lost the image of God in the fall. We are made in God's image, but we don't look like Him in His holiness and His righteousness and His goodness. We don't talk like Him in His holiness and righteousness and goodness. We don't live like Him. And that's a problem. That's a problem. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. The Bible describes us as dead in trespasses and sins, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We are children of the devil when we're born. And yet, friends, this is amazing. He loves us. That's why this, behold what manner of love. Behold, can you believe that? Oh, we're good at loving people who love us back. We're good at loving people who love us and speak kindly of us and treat us kindly and do the right thing to us. But boy, you get offended, right? You get called a name. Somebody kills your family, kills your son. Somebody comes in a church and shoots you down. You don't love them. They're your enemy. That's how the world talks. That's how the devil talks. But we're called to love. We're called to love our enemies. And why? Because God loved us as enemies. God loved us even when we don't look like His children. We don't look like Him, and yet He loves us still. God's love is so amazing because we don't deserve to be His children. We don't deserve His love. There is nothing that you could do to deserve being God's child. I wonder how many of you feel that way today, because to the degree that you feel that, the degree that you feel that you don't deserve God's love is the degree that you're going to be amazed that He loves you. Is the degree that your heart is going to leap with joy that He loves you. Is the degree you realize you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be loved by God. And you can do nothing. You can do nothing to earn His love. God's love is so amazing because we were born hating Him. Did you know that? We were born His enemies. And you might be sitting there and say, I've never hated God. Well, that's why you're here. You need to be informed. You need to be informed about what God has said about you, not what you feel and what you think. What has God said about your state before Jesus? Romans 5:10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. While we were enemies, that's when how we were reconciled. We were, at some point, the enemy of God. And some of you may still be here this morning and be an enemy of God. And you hate God, even though you're here. And you don't realize it because you don't give God the time of day. You don't trust God, live for God, honor God with your life. And so you sit here an enemy, a hater of God. Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. This love is so amazing because even in our hatred of God, in our enmity, our hostility toward God, He loved us. He loved us. Can you imagine loving someone who kills your son, who kills your daughter? Mothers, think about that. They kill your little girl and you love them. You love them. You love them as your own daughter. You love them as your own son. That's what kind of love this is. You get your face spit upon. You get beaten. You get strung up on a tree, naked and laughed at and mocked. And yet you love those doing that to you. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. God loved you that way. You were an enemy of God. Dear Christian, think about that. You were an enemy. Christians, you were an enemy. But God has done something. He's done something to reconcile you. J.I. Packer has a wonderful book called Knowing God, and there's a chapter on it about our adoption as sons. And he says, were I asked to focus the New Testament message in three words, my proposal would be adoption through propitiation. Adoption through propitiation. And I do not expect ever to meet a richer or more pregnant summary of the gospel than that. Adoption through propitiation. God is angry at sinners. He's angry at His enemies. We're His enemies before we came to Christ. We are God's enemies and He's angry. And yet He loves. We just saw this in Ephesians 2. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We are children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, in His great love He has for us, even though we were under the wrath of God, He loved us. He loved us in His wrath. That's amazing. That is amazing. God's love is amazing. And so what did God do? He made a righteous and a just way to remove His anger from us. Namely, He sent His Son to stand in place of sinners and hang on that cross and bear that wrath, bear that curse, bear that condemnation, bear those pains of hell on the cross that you and I might be freed from condemnation forever. That's adoption through propitiation. Propitiation, is there a child in the house who would like to boldly and loudly tell me what propitiation means? Is there a child under 10? Adam, stand up and proclaim. Say it. Yes. No excuses, adults. No excuses for not knowing that big word. That's a Bible word. That's a good word. People, oh, I wish the pastor wouldn't use big words. He shouldn't use big words. Yes, he should. Yes, he should. He should just explain them so that a child can understand. You see? We need to know the words of the Bible. And this is a Bible word. Propitiation. God's loving anger removing sacrifice. Propitiation. God's loving anger removing. I'll do it with the children. God's loving anger removing sacrifice. See? God's loving anger removing sacrifice. Jesus absorb the anger of God that we might not have to face it on the cross. And God did this because He loves us and that He might adopt us as His children and be reconciled to us. Friend, have you come to Him? Do you realize that you're an enemy of God? If you're here as an unbeliever, as a non-believer, and you haven't trusted in Christ yet, you're here, you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here, we want you to come, but do you realize you've sinned against God? Do you realize you've broken God's law, that you're not a good person? We give out tracts at Broad and Olney and we'll head out and people say, no, I'm good, and I want to say, no, you ain't not good. You're not good. Now, some of the ladies up there with us are more vocal. They'll just, no, you're not good. You're going to hell. I don't follow that quite approach. But it's true. We're not good. Friend, if you're here as an unbeliever, you're not good. You have told lies. You have cheated. You have stolen. You have disobeyed your parents. You have looked at women with lust or men with lust. And Jesus says it's adultery. You've lost your temper, which is murder in God's sight. Just losing your temper. You've not loved God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And you've not loved your neighbor as yourself. You are a sinner under God's judgment. And you deserve His wrath in hell forever. But we have good news for you. That doesn't have to be the end. You can be saved from the wrath to come because God the Father loves sinners. He sent His Son Jesus to die on that cross, to suffer God's wrath, and rise on the third day. And if today you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, He will save you. He will forgive you, save you from the wrath to come, save you from hell, and you will be His child. And so, dear unbeliever, believe on Him. Believe on Him now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Come and speak to me afterwards. I'll be in the front or the back. Or come for lunch and speak with me about the gospel. We want you to know Christ and be a child of God. But this love is so amazing because we don't deserve it and because we're born hating Him, and yet He loves us anyway so much He would give His only Son to save us. God's love is so amazing because He has all authority and power, and He is for you. You see, that would be a frightening thing to think about. God has all authority and all power if He's against you. But if He's for you, and all that power, all that infinite glory and might and strength is for you, then praise break time. He's for you. He is for you, dear Christian. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also graciously give us all things? Friend, let this encourage you in your prayer life. I'm praying, and my Father doesn't answer. My Father doesn't answer. And we're like the little child that's at the candy store. I want the candy, I want the candy, I want the candy, I want the candy. And Mom and Daddy know what's best, and so they say, no, no, no. That's how we are when we have unanswered prayers. Friend, God knows better than you. God knows better than you. And if you knew all He knew, you would want what He's giving you. Did you know that? If you knew all He knew, you would be thankful that He's not giving you what you're asking for at this time. God knows best. God knows best. He will always give His children what is right at the right time in the right way. Thomas Watson said this, in every cloud, you know, a cloud, a darkness, a depression, a sadness, in every cloud a child of God may see a rainbow of mercy shining. Every child may see a rainbow of mercy shining in every distress and sadness and cloud. If God is our Father, whatever He does to us, His children, is love. Whatever our Father does is love. Even if it hurts. Even if it hurts so bad and we don't understand. As one man has said, if you can't understand His hand, you can trust His heart. You can trust His heart. God's love is so amazing because He has all authority and all power, and He's for you, child of God. He is for you. Trust Him. Trust Him that He knows best, even when you don't understand. Keep going to your Father. Oh, Father, help me. Help me, Father. Help me receive this as love. Help me know this as love. Help me, Father, trust You. Help me know that You are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father. You're good. You're good, and I trust You. God's love is so amazing because He delights in you. He delights in you. He has feelings for you. We talk about people having, I have feelings for you. We're in love with one another, right? God has feelings for you, dear child of God. He sings over you. He shouts over you. He delights in you, dear child of God. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Rejoice over you with singing. You who hated Him, who were His enemy, whose sin killed His own Son. He delights in you. That's amazing. That's amazing. Pray God would give us eyes to see how amazing this is, that He loves you in this way. God's love is so amazing because He is with you. He's with you. As Brother Howard prayed at the beginning of this service, that the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, who created all things, He dwells in you, dear Christian child. He dwells in you. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Then take Isaiah 41:10 up as your dagger. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This love is amazing because He's with you. He's not a cold, distant Father who never calls, who never comes to see you, who never spends time with you. He is with you always and will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the kind of Father we have. And Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so in the presence of our Father is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. This is amazing. God's love is so amazing because He honors you. He honors you, dear child. Jesus said in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. We're told in Romans 8 that we will be glorified together with Him. We will share in the glory with Christ. Child of God, He will honor you. He's not a father that will exasperate His children, put them down, call them names, belittle them, expect too much of them, exasperate them. No, He honors you. He loves you. He cares for you. He will chasten you. He will discipline you. Hebrews 13, right? He disciplines those whom He loves. A good father will discipline you. When you do wrong and disobey mommy or daddy or get in trouble at school, a good father or mother will punish you, and it will hurt and make you cry, little children. They will apply the hand or the spoon or the rod to your rear end and cause pain because they love you. And God will apply pain to us in various ways because He loves us. How great is the Father's love? Spurgeon said this, God's love is intense. God's love is intense. It's like the love He has for Jesus. Did you know that, dear child of God? That God the Father loves you like He loves His own Son. When Spurgeon preached on John 3:16, he even went so far as to say this, it seems as though God loves us more than He loves His own Son, because He crushed the Son that we might be adopted. Oh my. What love. It's an intense love. Christian, He loves you like He loves Jesus. He loves you like He loves Jesus Christ. You didn't live like Jesus Christ. No, I didn't live like Jesus Christ. We didn't obey like Jesus Christ. But what Jesus did counts as ours because God counts it to us by faith. And He loves you like He loves His Son. It's intense love. It's an undeserved love. He made His enemies His children. He did not choose you because you were great. Because He wanted you on your team because of all your gifts and all your abilities and all your beauty and all your goodness. No, He chose you in spite of who you are and who I am. That is undeserved love. It's an everlasting love. It never ends. His love never ends. We see how ending so much human love is. Oh, we fell in love and got married and were married for 50 years. But then I just fell out of love with her and I fell in love with someone else. That's not love. That's not love. Husbands, you stay. You stay. That's love. That's love. And friend, God loves like that. God will never leave His children. You will never be orphaned, my son or daughter of God. He will love you with an everlasting love, and He will keep you forever, and He will never let you go. That's the love of God. It is an everlasting love. And it's an infinite love. An infinite love. It is God Almighty who loves you. It's the infinite, eternal God who always has been and always will be. It's an infinite love showered on you. It's an infinite love. Oh, what love is this? Pray that God would open your eyes to see the love of God in Christ Jesus. And finally, God's love is a free gift. God's love is a free gift. Look with me one more time in our little verse. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. It has been given. It has been given. It has been given. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. Friends, you cannot earn it. Some of you may be here today and you grew up in church and you're getting back into it and you think, I'm going to do better. I'm going to start coming to church and I'm going to give and I'm going to find out when they go out to Bartolome. I'm going to go tell people about Jesus. I'm going to be better. And you're doing it in your own strength. Your own willpower. I'm going to do this. Friend, you need to have your breath taken away by the love of God. You need to realize you can't do anything to earn this love. You cannot be a preacher to earn God's love. You cannot be an evangelist, a missionary. You can't come to church enough to earn God's love. You can't be good enough. You can't get your life right enough and stop smoking and chewing and going with girls that do to be good enough to earn God's love. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. So receive it by faith. By faith. You must receive it by faith. You must believe on Christ and receive this gift. But it's like grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. His love is a gift given. His love is the reason we can even be children at all. His love is what made us His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us in order that we may become the children of God. It's a free gift. Just receive it by faith. Because God's love is a free gift, once a child of God, always a child of God. Because it's a free gift and you can't work for it or earn it, once you're truly a child of God, you're always a child of God. Because God's love is a free gift, we are as much a child of God now as we ever will be. Lloyd-Jones said, we shall never be more the children of God now than we are now. We never shall be more the children of God in millions of years in eternity than we are right now. Once a child, always a child. Now some of you, if you know your Bibles, you're thinking, Pastor, what about Romans 8:23? Romans 8:23 says, we wait eagerly. We wait eagerly. Right now in this life, we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So there is a waiting that we long for. That Miss Christine knows now. She has, she's in an intermediate state. This is too much to go into right now. And when Jesus comes back, she will get her new body. And we all will get our new body. So she's with Christ in paradise right now. But she doesn't have her body yet. Right? And when Jesus comes back, she'll get her body. But that can be another sermon. My point is this. There's more to adoption than what we have right now. But we're still sons right now. And the way Romans 8:30 even speaks of it is that the glorification is already done. Right? And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. It is as good as done because the work is finished and Christ has done it. He is risen and we are sons now. And yet there's that already not yet aspect. There's more to come. And we'll get to that in the next coming weeks. Because 1 John 3, right? Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. Oh, there's more to come. There is more to come. And so, J.I. Packer encourages us to meditate on this little statement. And to say this statement in the morning, in the evening, before we go to bed. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. And every Christian is my brother too. That's your identity as a child of God. That's your identity. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day near. When you wake up tomorrow, one day near to being with my Father. One day closer. My Savior, Jesus, He's our elder brother. He's our brother. And every Christian is my brother. Friends, so many applications we can make right now to how we should love each other. Right? How we should love each other. But we don't have time. Jesus is our great and glorious elder brother. Jesus Christ is our great and glorious elder brother. And friend, remember what He had to go through. Remember what He had to go through so that we could be reconciled to our Heavenly Father and be children of God. And I want to be real careful with this statement. But it is as if, so as if all the Heresy police, remember as if. It is as if on the cross our Father disowned His own Son Jesus that we might be adopted. Do you feel that? I pray you would feel the weight of that love. That our Father, it's as if on that cross He disowned the beautiful one, the glorious one, the sinless, perfect one. As if He disowned Him and He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? It is as if He disowned Him and turned His back on Christ, that wicked, rebellious, hateful, enemy sinners like you and me might be brought into His family forever, and that He would love you with the same intensity and power that He loves His own Son, Jesus, the Father's greatest child. He's perfect. On His Son, God smiled. Yet on the cross, He was reviled. And on His back, our sins were piled. He was forsaken and exiled, but rose to conquer all that's wild. In Christ, we're children reconciled. And now on us, our God has smiled. Friend, that is good news. That is the good news. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. I want to close with a little story that J.I. Packer tells in that chapter on adoption. He says this: once I knew a family in which the eldest child was adopted at a time when the parents thought they could have no children. So you have a couple, they can't have children, so they adopt a child. And this is the eldest. But when their natural born children arrived, and so they had some children of their own, I call them homemade ones. Later on, they had their own natural born children. They diverted all their affection to them, the natural children. And the adopted eldest was very obviously left out in the cold. It was painful to see, and judging by the look on the eldest child's face, it was painful to experience. It was, of course, a miserable failure in parenthood. But in God's family, things are not like that. That's an understatement. It's like the prodigal. Remember the prodigal son who basically said, I wish you were dead. Give me all your money and let me go waste it on prodigal living. Remember that guy? It's like the prodigal in the parable. We may only find ourselves able to say, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. But God receives us not as hired men, but as children. And He loves us with the same steadfast affection with which He eternally loves His beloved only begotten. There are no distinctions of affection in the divine family. We are all loved just as fully as Jesus is loved. It is like a fairy tale. The reigning King adopts unloved, abandoned, unwanted orphans and runaways to make them princes. To make them princes of the kingdom. But praise God, it is not a fairy tale. It's not. It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise God, it is not a fairy tale. It is a hard and solid fact founded on the bedrock of free and sovereign grace. This and nothing less than this is what adoption means. No wonder John cries, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. When you understand your adoption, your heart will cry the same way. Friends, let's pray that God would give us eyes to see this love, behold it, know it, cherish it, treasure it, and that this would change our lives. Father, we praise You for Your great love. Oh Lord, You have loved us so well. God, we praise You. We thank you for this great love. And Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and hearts to know and understand and minds to comprehend this love that surpasses knowledge. And we pray, God, as we feel the love of God, know the love of God, meditate on the love of God, delight in the love of God, that you would change our lives. God, that we would be empowered to live holy lives and love others the way you have loved us. And Father, if there's anyone here that has not tasted of this love by repenting of their sins and believing on the Lord Jesus, we pray, oh God, that today would be the day that they believe and are saved. God, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.